If you weren't in love with me, I'm just not sure why, like, why you made love with me.
Really? Come on. There could be 25 women, you could fall in love with one, and she might not feel the same.
I love you.
As far as being in love, I've certainly moved on.
I am in love with you, Jalen.
Well, there's no good way, but this is the best way. People have now meet this way, right?
Hello, Internet.
There are no words.
You know what? This is a weird one for people who watch, or for people who listen to our show but don't actually watch The Bachelor.
Right.
So, if you don't watch the show,
right,
here's what happened. Everyone died.
Everybody died. This was basically the red wedding.
It was the red wedding of The Bachelor.
Of The Bachelor.
So, we started the episode with 12 contestants still in.
Right.
And then through a series of very emotional, dramatic events, we lost half the people.
Right. The Stark family is no longer. They have all been separated, and they are scattered across the realm.
Wow. So, it's basically like half the people are gone, and all the people who are left, basically nobody knows what's going on.
Right, and they are they're either super upset, or all of their periods have synced up, but it is just... it is pandemonium.
This is one theory that should not be ruled out.
No, it should not be ruled out.
But Nick also is a mess.
And remember, I was the one that said that and not Adam, so please don't hold that against him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like people are...
These women are synced
up. Man, it just... Everyone got murdered.
It was literally... It was Meltdown City. Population, everybody on The Bachelor.
Yeah, just a slew of insecurities just boiling into a nice, nice, fine fire or whatever.
So
happened.
I feel like we have a lot to talk about, so let's get to the end of the road.
Yeah, put on like your comfiest clothes.
We're gonna be here for a while.
Yeah.
So first up, we lose Alexis. Now, she was really fun. I know that you wouldn't say that about Alexis.
I don't even think she was fun. I think she was ripe for getting removed.
Yes, definitely. She was, I mean, based on, of course, as we will talk about continuously this episode, the relationships that Nick had with the other women, Alexis just was never going to be on that level.
She's not material to get married.
No. She is material to bang around with. She is material to hang with.
She's pretty
cool
goofy. She's
pretty
material goofy. To be on Bachelor in Paradise.
Definitely Bachelor in Paradise.
She probably
material.
Will be.
Which, and I would watch that openly. That sounds fun.
I have very little interest in her.
I know you do. So, moving on to the next person, Josephine.
Josephine has been ripe for being for way too long. Overrated.
She has a face that only Sarah Jessica Parker would love.
She has... You know what? The other girls in the house seem to like Josephine.
They really did.
I think it's probably because she was obviously not a competitor.
She was
no threat.
Not a threat. She was not a threat to anybody.
I hate to say that, but like, I don't know even how she made it this long. I thought she was one of the weakest contestants in the whole crew of like 30.
Again, maybe she had a great personality? She was fun to be around?
What, is she funny or something?
She was funny. I think she was probably
funny. My girlfriend
funny.
Josephine. What, is she funny or something?
She running the lights?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think... The first three girls on our end of the road, I really don't think ever had a chance.
And
they were just ripe for
and
purging.
And we didn't know a lot about Josephine,
well, think,
even to begin with.
I think that's kind of why. Like, when they're not going to be deep contenders...
Right.
They don't show you a lot.
Exactly.
Or it's kind of a chicken egg thing. Or are they not contenders because there's nothing to show?
Well, and that's the other thing. Like somebody like Catherine, we never saw her at the beginning of the show. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, wait, she won?
So, yeah, interesting. Because what happens most seasons is that somebody sneaks in and to like the 6-7 range before you even notice them.
Yeah.
This always happens.
Yeah.
This season,
that is not.
It didn't happen because we went from 12 to 6. There's no room to sneak.
No.
We have the 6 front runners.
Yes.
And it took no time to get there.
And you know what? We will talk about this a little bit later, but again, it is directly related to the crop of women that Nick has. They're very interesting, very good.
Top heavy. Very top heavy.
Very top heavy. Like, I mean, this top 6 minus Corinne is probably the strongest top group that they've had in a long time. So, like, losing people like Alexis, Josephine, and then, of course, Jamie, who we also lost this week, is not really a shock to the system for me.
No. I mean, there were 12 people. If you were like, he's going to get rid of half of them, everyone would have picked these three.
Yeah, for sure.
They had no business. These three
out of all six. Yeah,
they're probably nice people. Whatever, I don't care.
Yeah,
they don't. They're not good to watch on TV. They're not fun. They were no threats. Whatever.
No,
get them out of here.
I think Alexis will be a very easy plant for Bachelor in Paradise.
Jamie missed her chance. They went back to New Orleans. She had one chance to step up and be like, I'm going to make something of this because I'm from here and I'm going to show you something.
But you know what? And maybe she did.
It was too late.
Maybe she did. And the producers are like, no, we're more interested in this other story over here.
I think it was too late. Even if she did like a Michael Jordan half court Space Jam slam dunk, she was down four and it didn't even matter.
It didn't even matter. Wow. Basketball analogies from Adam.
That's not Space Jam. I mean, that's bigger than just sports.
It's true.
So.
So
then we move into another wave.
So this is a new location. We followed a homeless person to a second location, which is always a mistake. And this is a loss that we suffered in St. Thomas. Now, did we suffer this loss? TBD. We lost Jasmine this week.
This is gonna be the meat of the episode.
Right.
So we lost her. She seemed really normal up until this week.
Last week, I think she started to have some tinges of, like, things
in New
Orleans.
She appeared in my power rankings.
Did she?
She was number four in my power rankings last week.
Oh.
And she just fell on the sword after...
Adam, I don't remember that.
That's true. That's a true story.
I'll let the stenographer bring it up, but I'm going to
stand with
what I said.
Can we get the research team on this?
So, research interns, will you read the paperwork?
It's filing.
Interns, find the notes. Where are the notes? Oh, God, there she is. Whoops.
Research team confirmed. Jasmine was number four last week.
Okay. So, we will go into this more in depth, but we lost Jasmine. I think, you know, she just spiraled completely out of control. And
everyone lost it a little bit.
She lost it the most. She lost it the most. She went either, not full stage five clinger, but she went full Joan Crawford.
She lost it and then went into debt on having it.
Yes.
Further than
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
Like paying interest.
Yes.
At an exorbitant rate, huge rate.
Yes.
Is how much she needed to take out have this much crazy.
It was basically like that episode of Happy Endings where Penny had broken like her entire upper body or her arms or whatever. And she was taking that sleeping like NyQuil that made her sleep for 24 hours. It was that.
Noche Tessin.
I believe. Yes, that's right. Happy Endings, greatest show on television.
Drama.
So the next person we lost is somebody who you might be surprised to hear is still on the show. Whitney.
She doesn't even go here.
Who?
Exactly.
Okay.
The final person we lost is somebody who will be surrendering her crown at the top of my power rankings.
Wow, right?
And I think Nick really struggled with letting the hot girl go.
It's clear on the show.
It broke him on TV to let the hot girl go. We lost Danielle L.
And this really wrecks me. But I have things to say about it as we get more in depth to the conversation. I, of course, and Adam, who both love Danielle L. from jump, are really upset about this. I kind of see where this was coming from. But it still doesn't make it any easier.
So, yeah. So, we lost six people. We lost, like...
Six
we basically
people.
Lost. We lost, like, four Anns, and then one, like, suicide, and then one wildly improbable selection.
So, the Red Wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, big time.
I mean, so... And then the other thing to mention is, of course, we have now been off of the rose ceremony cycle for a couple of weeks. I think
there is no rose ceremony cycle. We just never got into it this
right.
year.
Right. Well, we never got into it. And so now him...
Other cycles, yes. Rose ceremony cycle, no.
Stop it. No, we all got on one cycle. I think what happened is because of the rose ceremonies and then Nick, you know, kicking six people off the show... kind of canceled each other out. They didn't have any rose ceremonies because they knew at one point we would be caught up. So now here we are.
I kind of think this is the way to go.
What, to just start shooting people in the dark?
I think it was clear about 10 people ago that at least five of these six were his
right.
preferred women.
I agree.
I think you could have seen this coming from a long way ago, and maybe it was a decision they made on the spot. Maybe, I don't know what's going on, but they were like, listen, let's just not kid around. No one's into Josephine.
No one's into Josephine. So, that's it. So now that we've gone through the end of the road, honestly, I don't want to talk anymore about Taylor and Corinne because that is small potatoes as we speak right now.
Yeah, Taylor and Corinne kind of continued to fight. Didn't matter because Taylor was already gone. And that's it. Okay, all right.
Who gives a f***?
Now we go to St. Thomas.
So, but the one last thing I want to mention is The Bachelor has not been doing a great job this year about diversity, inclusiveness, among everything else. If I hear one more person talk about going to a big, beautiful house, I'm going to burn a house to the ground. Anyway, join us in St. Thomas. So, we get to St. Thomas. It's a beach. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And we get to the first one-on-one date, and we immediately start with our friend Christina, the lost Romanoff child, on a one-on-one date.
You know what's crazy is I thought, when this was happening, I thought our entire show was going to be at this.
Yes.
It went so well.
It went so well.
It was the absolute perfect one-on-one date. Because, yes. Like, number one, Christina is so adorable.
She's
just precious, and she's always smiling.
Oh, my God.
And, like, she's adorable, right? And then it's like you start finding out about her, and
the layer, she peels the layers back on the onion like Shrek.
Yeah.
And then things get darker and darker. Let's go to the beginning. So Christina gets on the date, and the date, of course, because now that they're on the beach and their budget is small, the dates now are basically, let's just hang out.
Also,
we spent all the money on the Backstreet Boys, so let's just hang out.
Let me pause before you continue here for everybody listening. Keep in mind, it is sort of a tradition on The Bachelor.
Sure.
And The Bachelorette. As soon as you get a one-on-one date, you bring up the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
Right.
As a way of sort of generating sympathy.
Right.
To make sure they don't throw you out there.
Or to generate sort of, let me tell you my story, to give you the fake feeling of me opening up. That will make you want to give me roses.
Know
me. Yes. Now you think you know me.
But it's always small potatoes. It's always like, I went to prom and I spilled a cocktail on my dress. It's always small things.
My dad's been sick and, you know, I just don't know if when I come home he's going to be alive or something like that. So Christina starts talking about how
her lost childhood.
Well, she first mentions that Nick said, oh, well, tell me about your family in a very sort of cute, bright kind of way. She's like, well, I have 9 brothers and sisters, and he's like, wow, that's a lot. But being a child of an 11-person family, like...
No, he's like, I'm not impressed.
Nick, who are you to say?
So pretty small, then.
So then he's like, okay, so, like, you know, how many of your brothers and sisters are adopted? Or she's like, well, my parents have 4 children, and they adopted 4 children. And she said, and I have a sister in Russia.
She has child.
And I said, and we all said, okay, hold on a second.
And she did, like, everyone else, when they tell their sob story, they, like, it's, like, a big deal. They want dramatic lighting and, like, scored music.
And they're like,
you won't believe what happened. And she's just like, oh, yeah, my sister's 27 and, like, she has a child.
But I don't really talk to her.
Sorry, she has a child.
And she lives in Russia, but we don't really talk. Okay, so why don't you tell me about that, Christina?
So why don't you talk?
And as the date progresses, we find out the rest of her story. So Christina was 5 years old when her mother went out for an entire day, asked her not to eat anything, and because she was a 5-year-old child...
With no babysitter at the home,
obviously, she ate something, and her mother...
Maybe lipstick.
And her mother... Right, and maybe lipstick, maybe some things from the cupboards, maybe crumbs.
Rat poison. Could anything.
I don't know. Uranium, anything. And so her mother was so upset with her for eating food, she kicked her out of the house. And she lived in an orphanage for 8 years!
Yeah, wait, here's how the story goes. So she's 5, she's hungry, her mom leaves, she eats something, and that was the last time she saw her before she died.
Before her mother died. So Nick is listening to this story, and he's like, wait, this is not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say something beautiful and sweet, like it was a Disney movie, like, my parents died in a shipwreck.
And then there was this painting, and they found out I was a princess.
And they found out I was a princess, and I was like, no, it's not me, Grandmama. No. She ate lipstick, and then her mother died.
Yeah. So now she's like 14, running on the streets of Russia, and she's like, I basically have two choices. I could be a prostitute, or I could come to America.
What?
Your life is so hard.
And then wait, and then she said that her father, she knew he was...
Her adoptive father.
No, her real father. So like when she was growing up, she was living with her mother, and her sister was living with her father. But both of her parents died or were separated or whatever. And the woman at the orphanage, when she was trying to decide, Christina, this 16-year-old child, was trying to decide whether or not she would get adopted or she would stay in Russia and become a prostitute. The woman at the orphanage said to her, if you stay in Russia, your life will be in black and white. But if you go to America, your life will be in color. This is literally the Wizard of Oz, okay?
It's like...
I just...
Everyone tells a sob story and just they're all... They don't mean anything.
They don't mean anything.
Especially after this. They should just ruin that part of the show.
I don't even want to hear...
Mic drop moment.
I don't want to hear anybody talk about their parents being divorced. I don't want to hear anybody talk about I lost an arm or I was never born with an arm. I don't want to hear anybody...
You're really specifying somebody right now.
I know who I'm talking about. I don't want to hear anybody talk about, oh my God, people made fun of me when I was growing up.
My life is so hard.
My life is so hard. No.
I was 12 and was facing a 50% chance as a career prostitute.
Career prostitute or death on the streets.
But you know what? Here's...
But you know what? No. Tell us the positive of this.
Here's the thing about Christina. She doesn't tell it like, oh, poor me. How did I survive?
She sure
I'm
doesn't.
This great story. She just says it like, yeah, that's how I got here. What, did you take the bus or something? Like, she just says it like...
Right?
She just says it like, oh, that's just something that happened, but I'm over it.
She says it like she's making a list of, like, what she's going to get at the grocery store. I mean, my God.
She's like, my sister, yeah, she has child.
She has child, but I don't really talk to her because my Russian's really rusty because I don't speak it anymore. I wonder why.
Wow. It was just, so anyway, so this is the one-on-one date. And, like, we make it sound sad. It really was, like, a brilliant moment for Christine. She is a person who has been through stuff and has, like, came out of it, like, happy and like, mature and it's just
and
weird.
And woke about the world, man.
Yeah, usually these stories are bad quality and the people come out of it, like, very immature looking because you're like, oh, my God, how did I survive my hamster's death?
Oh, yeah.
You know? But in real life, like, she came out of it looking mature with an actual sob story.
Right. And I think for Nick, these kinds of moments are really important to him because I don't think he's got a savior complex in him. I don't think he wants to save anybody, but I think the vulnerability of her to be able to, you know, sort of tell that story, one, and then two, for her to be so honest about it and kind of say, like, this is my life and, you know, I'm so grateful that, you know, I got off the plane when my parents adopted me and my mom had flowers and my dad was holding balloons. And, like, I live in this beautiful, happy life with this family that loves me. Like, that is a really deep experience.
So here, there...
And she has no baggage whatsoever about it. She's, like, not harmed by it. She doesn't feel like the world owes her anything. That is also very important.
So I have two things to say about this.
Say it.
They're related. So, A of all, Christina, before this, like, he has three women picked out that he likes the most, and everyone's fighting for fourth.
Right.
I was like, it's probably Danielle. Last week, I was like, it's probably Danielle.
Same.
Right?
I think we all thought that.
During this date, Christina was like, guess what? I'm not moving into fourth. I'm moving into a four-way tie for first.
Bingo.
Right?
Bingo.
Number one, she said that. Number two, if you're Nick, how could you possibly pass up the chance to meet this woman's family? How could you possibly do that?
Especially when his family so closely mirrors hers. I mean, the family that she has in the United States, obviously. But
that's her family.
Right, right. I mean, the blendedness of it, the 9 children, the fact that...
size.
The size. I mean, the fact that you're meeting these people that have consciously not adopted just one child, but 4 children on top of the 4 that they already have to build a life for these kids? That's insane.
It's a hometown lock.
It's a hometown lock.
How could you not?
Especially after telling that story. My God, I want her to go to hometowns because I want to see that.
Not only is she just charming and wonderful.
She is delightful. But I would love to have her be my dental hygienist. Just
how could you possibly pass up a chance to see the family?
You can't.
All right.
So, do you have obviously, else for her? No, I am done. I mean, Christina got the rose. Like, I'm shook.
Like, let's move into the real, like, the dramatic part.
Or as I like to call, the syncing up.
Yes. So we go on this group date.
Right.
It's 6 women, and the whole date, basically, they just take this catamaran to a beach and play volleyball.
So...
which sounds harmless.
Right. Play volleyball. We're taking shots. It's all fun and games. Meanwhile, Jasmine has been melting down since day
one. The meltdown starts when they get there.
Yeah. And Christina gets the one-on-one date.
Yes.
Now, I mean, a blind man could have seen that this was coming for her. And as we always say, user percent is so, so important.
So I had an important thought.
Say your thoughts.
That it continues to come up every time I think about Jasmine in particular and just the broader range of women.
Right.
So initially, there are 3 women there who have not had a one-on-one date. Nick's like, listen, I want Christina.
Right.
Right? And he doesn't have to pick someone he hasn't had a one-on-one date with.
No, no.
He doesn't have to at all. He could be like, listen, I'm into Danielle M. I want to have another one with her.
Right.
And they can do it. He doesn't have to pick. It's not a written rule.
He's the bachelor. He's in charge.
He can do whatever he wants. What Jasmine is assuming is that she is going to get one, I guess she has a 1 in 3 chance of getting it.
Right.
Which is probably correct. Those are not good odds.
No, they're not. It's still 33%, 33.3%.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Was easy.
Shut up. That she would actually get the one-on-one date, especially when you're fighting against, you know, it's not going to be Corinne because she just had a 2-on-1 date, so that's not going to happen. When you're fighting against Whitney, Christina.
Gotta think you're a favorite against
and
Whitney.
And yourself. You have to think you're a favorite against Whitney, for sure. But against Christina? Really? When she already got a rose before?
Yeah, you gotta know you're a big dog.
You gotta know you're a big dog in that fight.
You're way down.
And then for her to pretty much repeat the same mistake that Dominique had only a few weeks before. And, like, didn't you recognize those signs and her meltdown in yourself? Because you were on that group day, too.
So here's the realization that I had.
Yeah.
Number one, obviously, it goes without saying, people need to play their percent.
Always.
You got to realize there's always going to be somebody who's the last one to get a one-on-one. The one-on-one date doesn't mean anything. It's a scarce commodity. You got to just power through.
Right.
You got to make the most of the time you have, not wish for more time. That does not work for anybody.
Exactly.
Here's the realization. What we are seeing is a one story that is half Nick's life and half 30 other women.
Exactly.
What is really happening in real life is that 31 people are seeing 100% just their story.
Yep. Totally.
Right?
Totally.
And the way that Jasmine is seeing it, I mean, you can't help people for seeing things from their perspective. That's
right.
All you have.
Right.
But at the same time, the people who win on this show and the people who win in real life are people who step out of themselves, realize that they're not the main character in everyone else's story, and treat other people well because of it.
So the other thing that I will mention is traditionally when we do get to this episode, like the second or third travel episode or the travel episode where, you know, you're starting to either repeat one-on-one dates or dates are getting more intimate and the group's getting smaller, things do traditionally get a little bit more tense with the group. And I think for these women, they have been through a lot of drama and a lot of emotional, like, back and forth. So I don't think the meltdown that happened when everybody was on the group date, by the way, which was Corinne, Rachel, Raven, Jasmine, Danielle M., and Vanessa,
Everyone who's left. Everyone who's left.
I don't think it's so much the, you know, the using your percent. I think it was a combination of jet lag, them probably all being drunk and like coming down from that day drunk sort of, you're tired and like, you know, you can't figure out where you are. You've been out in the sun all day. You're hot. You're doing these weird like competition challenges and all you want to do is go home and sleep. You're probably like either PMSing because it's like week four, but your period's probably a little bit out of whack. So it's a week late. So you've been PMSing and on the precipice of actually starting your period. And I know this is a lot of information for a lot of the men that are listening, but you're on like the precipice of starting and you just want it to come out of your body, but it won't. That would make somebody crazy.
I think not eating for a month would make me crazy.
Also that too. The not eating for a month, the constantly being around the same women, the no internet, no phone, no television. Sounds awful.
I think...
I would melt down at least once.
You know what? No, it is just... You have to come into this show, to this contest, knowing that every single group date is about participation. And it doesn't matter whether you want to do it or not. You have to participate and try to have a good
time.
And
I'm not saying...
That is the entire purpose of the
group
date.
And that's what they did.
Nobody wants to be there, but you have to get along.
I understand that. I understand that. But, I mean, thinking about it from the perspective of someone being a contestant on the show, under all of those constraints, you've been up all day, all night. Sometimes you don't go to sleep until 4 o'clock in the morning, and then you have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get ready for all these dates. Like, I get it. I get it. I really do. And it just all came crashing down to a head like this week. That was a really bad experience.
So they're basically like, you six girls play 3-on-3 volleyball. And everyone's like, okay, we'll play. And they played for a little bit. And then everyone was like, this is dumb.
I'm tired of this. You know, like, I'm playing these games and like Nick is not spending any one-on-one time with me. Like usually in the group dates, we get to do that. And that's not what happened this week.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I mean, in the one-on-one dates, you or the group dates, you usually spend time with him in the second part.
No, not the first part. They do. He does, like, you know, take people out, like, while they're, quote-unquote, in the waiting period. He does, you know, talk to some people one-on-one and that kind of thing. But it just didn't seem like it was flying this week. It was not flying this week.
And the cherry on top of everything is that Nick, who is an athlete, and I think most men are like this.
Yeah.
Cannot possibly understand other people not enjoying sports.
Yes.
He's like, I don't get it. Why is nobody having a good time?
Because we don't want to play sports all the time. This is so dumb.
This happens every season on The Bachelor is that the guy takes the girls on some sort of like sports competition thing. And it always goes horribly wrong because they really don't want to do it and they just can't hide it.
They can't. So we get to the evening part of the date. Basically, the afternoon part was a complete disaster.
Like, everyone's just upset. The whole date is just, like, seven people standing by themselves on the beach crying.
Crying, which sounds like my kind of weekend. So we get to the evening part of the date, and, you know, we really get focused on Rachel goes and talks to Nick, and she is like, their conversation is interesting. I thought the way that they had this, I won't call it a fight. I would call
it
a...
It's not a fight because it's not personal.
No.
It's like the process is wearing on
her. Right. The process is wearing on her and she's being vocal about it. And basically, she was saying, I just don't know if I can handle this. And Nick was saying, please don't leave me.
Yeah that's exactly
Please don't leave me. I need you here. Out of everybody else, please don't leave me.
Yeah, like, you're not allowed to beg on this show.
No.
But, like, but he got really, like...
He got pretty big.
He may have done it off camera.
I think he begged on camera. He was like, no, please don't. So, that was really sweet. And then...
I mean, he's very clearly into her.
Very clearly. And they wouldn't have showed that. Compared to, like, showing some of the other conversations he had with some of the other women. Because they didn't. I mean, Raven won the rose for this date. But they didn't even show him talking to her.
Did she win it?
That's what Rachel said. Raven won the rose for that date. But they didn't even show them talking. They only showed him talking to Rachel.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It does make sense. It makes sense because Rachel is in it to win it.
Rachel! So here's the big thing that happens.
Oh, boy.
So this happens... And then it's time for Jasmine's one-on-one conversation with Nick.
Now, mind you, meanwhile, Jasmine has been spiraling all day.
Yeah, she does not go first. And while Nick is talking with the other women, she's like working her, like lathering herself up with the other women.
Working herself up hard.
And so she gets her time with Nick, and it's just emotional Hiroshima.
Oh my God. She, if there was, I mean, I don't know what could be worse than word vomit, because it was worse than that. It was like she pulled the insides of her body out and dumped them all over him.
So
it was the worst thing I've ever
seen.
She
pulled a move that no man could possibly say yes to. Yep. She's like, listen, why aren't you giving me more love? Why aren't you giving me more validation? Because so I love you.
Right. I love you. I'm so angry at you. I could just choke you.
I'm going to choke you repeatedly.
And then she did.
And it was playful. But when you do it like a third, fourth, fifth time, it's threatening. It was, there's literally nothing you can respond to. What does she want him to do? That's the question that I had when I was sitting there watching. Like, what in your mind?
Yeah.
What do you want him to do?
What would be the outcome that you would be pleased with? And then, she just like spiraled out of control.
I think she really expected him. The outcome that she wanted was him to go, you're right, I'm going to get rid of everybody else except you and just end the show right now.
I don't think she's watching the show that I'm watching, because it is very clear that she is not a front runner in this game. She got to go to St. Thomas, great, but she's not a front runner in this game at all. Not even a little bit. Like, the visual that I had of this was that scene in Indiana Jones when the guy's face melts off. That's what happened to Jasmine.
She was in my power rankings last week. Honey, did this turn around?
Honey, I know, and I still don't believe it, even though I'm looking at your paper right now. Thank you to the interns for bringing that out.
We have the best research team
on
this
show.
We
so do. She got intense and wild, and she started talking. Now, granted, I don't think she was constantly talking to the women when she was spiraling like this.
They worked her up a little bit.
I think they worked her up a little bit for sure. And I think she was, you could tell with the cuts of the scenes where she was working herself up, she had to have been talking to the producers a couple times and then going back to the women. And like they re-spliced in a couple shots of some people like rolling their eyes. But I don't think any of that was happening in sequence.
They can't show something you didn't say.
But she said all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know who she said it to, and I don't know what the sequence of it all was, but it happened.
So they get Nick on camera after this conversation. I don't think he's let her go yet, or maybe, I don't know when they filmed this. It's probably after let her go, and Nick just mumbles his way through. He's like, I didn't have the best conversation with Jasmine.
That was funny.
Like, dude.
I feel like,
It was just a lose-lose situation.
It was bad.
It wasn't even good to watch. No. It wasn't even like, I can enjoy how much of a train wreck this was. It was like, I am uncomfortable.
I was very uncomfortable.
Like, I'm in the most comfortable possible situation.
Yeah.
I'm with my person in the studio, just the two of us hanging out. And you know what? I was uncomfortable.
I was very
She made me uncomfortable.
So Nick sent Jasmine home, and, the rest of the
Nick
women...
sent Jasmine to Bachelor in Paradise.
Right.
There's a 100% chance she ends up on that.
Oh, 100%. She'll be on VIP. And I think the same thing will probably happen. So she sends her home, and all of the women still are feeling like, this was the worst date of my life. I hate this. I don't like it. Sure, Raven got the rose, but who cares? I would rather just stay in bed and cry, which actually also happened.
It's kind of a undescribed meltdown, but they're doing it together.
Yes, it's a unified undescribed meltdown, which sounds like syncing up. So we get to the next part of the show, which is an unprecedented 2-on-1 date starring Danielle L. and Whitney. So, guys,
and it's back to back because we had one.
And it's back to back because we just had
one.
This
is abnormal.
And then this is abnormal also because there is, and this was mentioned on the show, there is no animosity between Danielle L. and Whitney. And usually the tool of a 2-on-1 date is used to heighten a,
you
conflict.
Force a decision.
Force a decision.
A or B.
So I think what happened here, this, you heard it here first on 25 to Life. Exclusive. This was a producer plant.
Why do you say that?
I think that...
Trying to get rid of more people?
I think they were trying to get rid of more people because of some of the things that were happening and, because we're behind. And I think they got to St. Thomas and they said, we got too many people on the roster. We got to cut some.
Plane only holds seven people.
Plane only holds seven people. We don't want to have happen here what happened to Aaliyah. We cannot have that happen. God rest her soul, baby girl.
So are they going somewhere really, really far away for the next episode?
TBD.
All right.
But I think this was a producer plant because it just seems really out of place, you know?
That makes sense a little bit because I really don't buy the whole second elimination. Whatever. So here's what happens. First elimination, Whitney loses. She says like five words on camera, right, and then she's out.
And Danielle had a really good prepped answer about like how she wanted to further a relationship with Nick and she was falling in love with him, blah, blah, blah.
Danielle, you know, for as hot as she is, Danielle L. can actually speak.
She can, and I was surprised at that.
So this happens, and then kind of like meanwhile, Vanessa is back at the house freaking out about
Everybody is back at the house now.
Why are they freaking out about this selection? Why?
The same reasons that I was freaking out about it. There's no conflict between Danielle and Whitney. It seems strange because everybody knows how close he is with Danielle, but not really close with Whitney. So why would he take them on a two-on-one date? It seems out of place.
So when I saw this date, originally, I was thinking this is going to be a two birds two on one date,
mm-hmm,
where he gets to get rid of somebody who clearly doesn't belong, Whitney, right, and then he also gets a one on one with somebody he's into,
which is what happened initially. Which is what we thought was going to happen.
And what I think Vanessa may have been suspecting, she may have been afraid she was going to go behind 2-1 on the one on one dates to Danielle L.
Right, which is, you know, Vanessa, because she's the smartest person alive, so that makes sense.
She was not handling it well. So anyway, the date happens exactly like you expected for the first, like, 20% of it.
Right.
And then there's a twist.
Twist. Crisscross.
Twist. You guys can't see the hand motion I'm doing.
He's twisting.
But imagine me twisting. It looks like maybe
a
very broad light bulb.
Oh, okay.
Twisting it just like a half a turn.
I see it.
So here's what happens. So Whitney gets stranded on this bed in the middle of an island.
Right,
or something.
And she's talking about Danielle saying she's not ready to be in a relationship. What are you talking about? Are you just saying that because that's like jealousy. Bachelor jargon?
That's jealousy.
God.
So they do this.
We're twisting.
Nick and Danielle fly off somewhere and they have this nice dinner together where they look at lobsters.
Right, which
was
weird.
He says, look at this lobster. And I'm like, I think that's the extent of it.
She's going to
look at it.
No, don't tell me that there's lobster on a plate that I can't eat.
Yeah, so they look at it, and then like, the tragic train wreck thing happens.
Because you can slowly see the life leave his body as she starts talking about their future together and what she wants, and, you know...
This is a staple of an elimination. Yeah. Like, once a year, this will happen. On a one-on-one date or something, somebody continues talking to the bachelor or bachelorette as though they are planning their life together.
Yes.
And the bachelor says no words and looks at them with this look that just says, you really can't see what's coming.
Right.
And they really can't.
And the thing that I think, you know, happened, obviously... Danielle was a great front runner. She's a great person. I'm not saying I don't like her. I mean, we will get to this later about her potential running for Bachelorette for next season. She, after the conversations that he's had with Vanessa and Rachel, and to an extent, even Raven, she doesn't have that sort of mundo that at least the three of them have, and like the maturity level, the banter, the chemistry, like it's just not there. And you can tell, and I feel awful about it, as bad as he did.
I feel like this is the man in me speaking.
All right.
I feel like it is very obvious that she was the hot one.
Totally.
And he really wanted it to work out with
her. Totally, because she was so hot.
She was so hot.
And crazy hot.
He just had to come to grips with there being no relationship between him and
this. He was just not that into her.
There's a chance this is the hottest woman he's ever going to see.
Ever.
And And he was in a position where she had to like him. And she's sitting here saying,
I'm falling in love with you, yes.
And he had to come to grips with how hard it is to say, you know what? It's just not going to happen.
And he was shook.
That's tough.
That wrecked him so bad. Adam, have you ever been in a situation like that?
No.
Okay. So
I don't have to worry about attractive women liking me.
Oh, okay. So the thing that really was sad was when, you know, when he said, if you could use two words to describe the perfect relationship that you would be in, what would you say?
He said,
you can't say communication and honesty. And she said, trust and love.
Doesn't show a lot of thinking.
It doesn't.
On the other side, he said raw.
He said raw and adventurous. That sounds primal and gross and like butt stuff is on the horizon.
It sounds like something that The Bachelor wants him to say.
No, I believe that he actually wants this. I just also believe that he is so, like, Nick is so insecure and, like, crazy insecure about this process and the fact that it hasn't worked out for him and, like, it is crippling his decision-making skills, and I think he is trying to be a lot of different people in a lot of different situations, and he can't nail down who he truly is.
I think he's trying to figure out who he's attracted to instead of just accepting that he is and isn't attracted to people.
Right, right.
Which is dumb. Like, just go with it. Like, when it's there and when it's not.
Right.
There's no use to sit here and, like, logic it out so you can mumble about it on camera. Just go with it.
And then I think now that we're at the point where the women are on a spectrum of, you know, you're either completely crazy and insane.
Corinne.
Or super mature. Everyone and else. like reasonable. There's no one that's still left that's in the middle, which I think is a good thing because now we're at the final six minus Corinne. And we're really not sure who might win this thing. Because everybody's good. Except Corinne.
The problem has always been top heaviness. Where
we've
been saying the three women that we think he's into the entire season.
Right.
And it's been holding up the entire season.
Right.
And everyone else really hasn't had a chance.
Except Christina
Who has fought her way in.
Killed the game.
By having two of the last three episodes of this show, literally nobody has had a good episode except Christina.
Yes.
She is like, she's worked her way in there.
Right.
Everyone else has been there from day one.
So, Nick breaks up with Danielle and he is absolutely devastated. So he comes back to the hotel.
He comes back and does the dumbest thing he could
have done. And tells the women and is crying.
The women who are already grieving, they don't want to hear anything. Right. They're not really sure about what he's doing.
Right. And so he comes to them and says, hey, guess what? You thought right. I'm not really sure what I'm doing. And I basically need a break from all this because I'm so insecure that, you know, I have the love of all of these amazing women who are wonderful. And I'm just so fearful that I'm not going to feel the same way, that I'm not going to match up at the same time as you are, much like has already happened.
I mean, they've all matched up at the same time.
Right.
As each other,
I mean, so. They've all matched up, but match up with him. That's not going to happen. And again, that insecurity that we've been talking about since the start of the show about, you know, I just want somebody to love me back. He is really messed up about having been on the show a bunch of times and it not worked out.
He should be. Number one, he should be. Number two, I think there's another reason these girls are all upset. I can't say enough times how much hotter Danielle L was than everybody else.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of shakes them all up that not only did a girl who's way hotter than them get axed,
kicked off, yeah.
Also, that girl won a date and then got removed.
And then got removed, yeah.
And they're still there.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just weird. Yeah. If I'm, like, lining up to run a 100-meter dash with Usain Bolt, and all of a sudden he just steps off the track, I'm like, what is this about?
Right.
Why, what, if he could just leave, what am I doing
here? Right, I mean, the insecurity level of the women, which they're already pretty much beaten and bruised at this point, you know, like you said, if a woman who is on a scale of 1 to 10, an 86 on the scale of hotness, that she doesn't even make it. And I'm sure to them, like, Danielle was super nice and, like, wonderful and kind and peaceful and, like, warm and all of the good things. If a woman like that isn't going to make it to the end, then what am I doing here? I get it.
Interesting you bring up the 1 to 10 scale. I have another monologue planned for some other time about a 0 and 1 scale, but we'll save that.
We'll save that.
You can figure it out.
We'll so, it. I mean, the last thing that I have to say before we get into Please our power do. Rankings is, you know, so now after all of this, we have to really expect that, and we'll talk about it in bold predictions, that we really have to expect that Nick is going to sleep with Corinne after all of this. I mean, is he a glutton for punishment or what? Like, I mean, he must be an emotional cutter or something.
I think, no. I mean, if he does, it's because he's trying to think through why he's doing things he feels
he's like insecure. He's insecure. He's like, you know, I can't find love, but this is the only way that I can, like, show that I care about somebody by banging all these girls. And I just, oh, God, I would not want to be in his head right now. Or ever. He seems like a nightmare to be with.
He's terrible. Jesus. Yeah, sorry, he's terrible. Let's do some very quick power rankings. So we're down inside 8, which means we will rank the entire field.
Correct.
Let's just, I mean, we all know how we feel about these people. Who is your number 6?
My number 6 is Corinne.
Ah, my number 6 is Raven.
Okay. Who's your number 5?
Danielle M.
Mine is Raven. I think Raven will be right on the cusp of getting the hometown. The hometown 4th spot is a wild card.
Wow. Okay, so we're going to have to... This is going to have to come into play. If Raven really did get a rose tonight, and it sounds like she did...
Yeah.
We have 6 people left. She has to make it through to at least 5.
Yeah.
If Corinne is going to try to sleep with Nick right now, mm-hmm. Nick... In order for Raven to miss the hometowns, Nick has to wait until the rose ceremony and then get rid of Corinne.
Right.
To nullify the rose that Raven has. Otherwise, if Nick gets rid of Corinne outside of the rose ceremony,
right.
Raven automatically makes goes, hometowns. Yeah. And one of the power 4 doesn't.
Ooh.
Interesting, right?
Really interesting.
I was just thinking about that. Like, she has a pass to at least 5th place.
But see, then that comes to play. My number 4 is Danielle M. So then that comes to play because Danielle M is another one of those people that is nice, beautiful, kind, whatever. But what about the chemistry that's there? The same conversation she was saying about Danielle L. Maybe that means that Danielle M is not in the power 4 anymore.
I was going to say she's the weak one anyway.
Okay. Wow.
I just don't think there's a lot that's like exciting there.
Right. Compared to the field.
And in terms of, like, looks and maturity, Rachel and Vanessa and Christina are equal or wildly better.
Right.
All right. So we have the same 3 in the bottom. I have Corinne at 4. So Corinne, Danielle M., and Raven are our collective bottoms. And so the top 3.
I heard that, collective bottom.
My number 3 is Rachel.
My number 3 is Christina.
Okay. Number 2 is Vanessa.
My number 2 is Rachel.
We are just not on the same page. My number 1 is the princess herself, Christina.
Mine is Vanessa, still. I think.
So we generally agree.
Yes.
On everything. Yes. Nobody's more than 1 or 2 away.
Right, right. And I think he is definitely going to sleep with Rachel. He is definitely going to sleep with Vanessa.
Wait, sleep with Rachel in the fantasy suite?
Yes. He is definitely...
Sleep with Vanessa in the fantasy suite.
Correct.
And so... Who's number three?
I just don't know.
At this point, you'd have to say Christina based on your
power. I would say Christina at this point. I don't think it would be Raven.
I feel like Christina has an auto pass to hometowns.
Oh, sure. Yes!
After that, you know, you got a 3 out of 4 chance, but I really don't know.
Yeah. I think your point about that, you know, the Corinne of it all being the decider about who the number 4 is going to be.
When he gets rid of Corinne, there are 6 people left.
Because he will get rid of Corinne.
Corinne has no chance of being in the top 4.
No way.
When he gets rid of Corinne, sets up the Raven versus Danielle M battle for the last spot.
Yes.
And it only matters when he does it.
Yes.
I think he's going to keep Corinne until the rose ceremony, but so he doesn't have to give Raven a hometown date.
But he's still going to, you think he's still going to sleep with her? And then tell everybody? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God. So,
well, I guess we're already in bold predictions.
So we're into bold predictions. So the thing that frustrates me, and we talked about this already, so now we basically have to sit and be okay with him sleeping with Corinne to try to work out his insecurities on somebody.
Nobody's going
to
be okay with it.
Oh, no.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. I just don't know. See, but do you think he'll actually tell everybody that it happens?
Yes. After he gets rid of her, after the rose ceremony. Because he doesn't want to get
rid of her. So you think he's going to go through the entire rose ceremony and not tell anybody that he had sex with Corinne until, oh, by the way, we're going to hometowns, and guess what? I had sex with Corinne.
I really think it's a play to keep Raven out of the final four. Number one.
Yeah.
And number two, I just think that's the kind of person that he is.
That is true. Now, what if he gets to the final four, Chris Harrison turns up and is like, Nick, you have to tell the girls that you're Corinne. And he's like,
you have to tell their dads. At the same time, to ask right. to get married to all of them.
Or you have to tell them before you go. And he tells them, and Raven drops out.
Oh, I still, great, two birds.
I honestly still think that Raven would drop out over some sort of gross interaction with Corinne. I really do.
I don't know why you think anyone's going to drop out. At this point, if you haven't dropped out at this point, no one has dropped out until this point.
Well,
24 women have left. No one has left voluntarily.
Hey, man, we saw Andy the Dwarf Dorfman walk out on Juan Pablo.
But she had the Bachelorette locked up.
Did she?
Of course she did.
Did she, though?
Of course she did.
She did, because, I mean, it was Nikki and Claire.
Telling her, if you leave, we'll still pick you.
Yeah. I just...
No, the next...
I can't watch this show conceivably. And have the show create this vacuum where you're supposed to feel sympathetic for Nick in his situation. And then in the same breath, he has sex with Corinne. And it's like, how can I feel sympathetic for you when you make decisions like this?
I mean, I don't want to point this out. I don't want to be the guy who says in his defense about Nick.
But he does have a penis.
No, in his defense... The Bachelor contestants have a history of accepting proposals for men who very recently have slept with two of the other contestants.
Well, the same goes for The Bachelor, too.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm just saying.
The Bachelors on The Bachelorette.
I'm just saying. The people have a habit of saying yes, even though they've just recently slept. Like, that's the way that the show works.
Yeah.
That those other intercourse sessions are not outside of the flow of the show.
But it's not like it's unprecedented. It's about the sanctions of the show. There is a time for the intercourse and then there is a time that is not. And I think there is a more than it's not really about the process of the show and what the rules are. It's about control and self-control and self-medication, because it seems like Nick medicates himself with sexual, you know, interactions.
So who is the next Bachelorette?
I still say Rachel. I don't think he's going to pick her. I think he's going to pick Vanessa.
Wow, you and I disagree.
Who do you think?
I think he's going to pick Rachel, and she is going to say no, and she is going to be the Bachelorette. We agree on who it's going to be.
You think he's going to pick Rachel, and she's going to say no?
But pick up on what I have just proposed is going to happen. He's going to sleep with Corinne, not tell anybody, go to the rose ceremony, let her go, then tell everyone, then they're all going to go home and sit there and think about it.
Right.
No one's going to say yes to him. Why would you say yes to him after that?
Corinne, that's what I was saying!
I know, but Corinne is a monster.
Yeah. Well, they all know this. I think Corinne is very misunderstood, and I think her using her body is, you know, a symptom of that.
Right, I'm not trying to get into that. I'm just saying, all four of these women hate Corinne. Five of these women, whatever. They all hate Corinne, and that's who he's going to sleep with.
Right.
He couldn't pick a worse person, and the timing also couldn't be worse.
Could not be worse.
So I think there's no way anyone except Corinne would say yes to him. Who's left? I just don't think it's possible.
Guys, this has been a long episode. Thank you so much for sticking with us through this one. I think next week Nick is going to go AWOL. There's not going to be any real dates for a long time next week. It doesn't seem like there's going to be any dates next week, so...
there are no real dates to begin with. All these are fake dates.
I just... Right. So, I'm curious to see how they break him out of his funk. We'll see you next week, guys. Bye!
I think my time on the Bachelor franchise is probably complete.
You get to be the Bachelor, you get to meet 25 at least amazing women, but...
It's not a normal environment. It's a very unrealistic situation. It's real to you. A lot of people ask me, how's Chris Harrison? Really popular. Dabbled in modeling a little bit. People really like TVs.